Well, First Letter of John, in chapter 1, we read verses 3 to 7 to begin with, familiar from last week. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him, and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We began last week by saying that God the Father has granted us salvation and fellowship with him. We have fellowship with the Father. Also, God the Son has gained our salvation, and we have fellowship with him. And God the Holy Spirit has guaranteed our salvation and fellowship as we have and fellowship with the Father and the Son. Now that's very important. And through these scriptures in 1 John, we are challenged to walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, you have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with each other. That's very important as well. So those are key words. Walk in the light. And the other letters, 2 and 3 John, walk in love and walk in truth. And then there's harmony. And there's fellowship with the Father and the Son and with each other in the light of all that, of course. So the very purpose of the gospel is to bring us salvation and fellowship. Salvation and fellowship with the triune God and the two believers as well. Now the Amplified Bible puts it in an excellent way. That fellowship between believers, not the Amplified Bible puts it as a distinguishing mark, that we have fellowship. People commented to the disciples that they had been with Jesus, fellowship with him back in the early days. So I like that, that fellowship is a distinguishing mark of believers. It stands out, certainly does, and we're different, of course. And we also considered last week that we are partakers of the divine nature and partners. It means we receive, 2 Peter chapter 1, we receive the very nature within each one of us, formed in us. We're conformable to his death, but we're conformable to his life as well. And the Christ is formed in us, which is what Paul wrote about. So we're partakers of that very nature, and we become sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. We can call God Abba, Father, and in the light of that. Also, we are partners. We're together. We're partners. In the same way as the early disciples, some of them were fishermen, and they were partners in their work. So we're partners also in the fellowship, in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. So fellowship is sharing that love and sharing that fellowship through our own common experience of salvation and knowing him, which is very important as well. So the true gospel then produces a true fellowship with each other. And the evidence is, of course, that we can say we know the Father to a certain extent through scriptures, and we know the Son through scriptures and the experience. We find that benediction in 2 Corinthians 13, that we have fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is different. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We thought about that last week as well. In other words, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, we don't talk to the Holy Spirit, but we have the fellowship of him because he's working Christ's life into us, and he intercedes for us, and he's changing our life inwardly. Through the new birth. The fellowship of the work of the Holy Spirit within our lives, which is something different. So the true gospel always produces true fellowship with each other as well. That's important there. So the message of the gospel, when it's effective, produces salvation, and that in itself produces fellowship between like-minded believers. Now we know that's true. So those things are certainly very important on that account. Now we're all members of the body of Christ. I'd like, if you were now, to turn back from 1 John to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read from, I would suggest to you, from verse 12 through to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27. I read them through. This is about the fellowship within the body of Christ. As we're part of that body, foot, hand, ear, nose, big toe, whatever, all contributing to the working of the body functioning as a church. So 1 Corinthians 12, from verse 12 through to 27. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. There's unity, that's fellowship. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, Gentiles, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For if, in fact, the body is not one member, but many, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleases, fellowship and service. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Important part of fellowship. And those members of the body which we think be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Unrepresentable parts have great modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. It's important. God composed the body. He saved us, made us, having greater honor in that part which lacks. That there should be no schism in the body, no splitting, no divisions. Problem in Corinth. Be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. That's fellowship. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. I'll read this. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrating values, and so on. The Lord has created the body, and each functioning part of the body contributes to the whole. That's fellowship. And that's very important. We'll consider that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we read these important words earlier in the letter. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul writes in Philippians 2 of the concerning one another better than yourself, and the humble nature of Christ, and using that as an example for our humility as well. And he says, if there's any consolation, any comfort in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, not with him, but of him, his working in us, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, harmony and fellowship in the body, and each contributing part to that body. That's fellowship. Bind us together, Lord, you know. If you go back to one of the Psalms, you know it, don't you? Psalm 133. Let's go back to Psalm 133 for a moment. It's only a few verses, so we read them. It's only three. Psalm 133, the blessed unity of the people of God. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, the Holy Spirit, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, and that's refreshing. The dew of Hermon, refreshing. Descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The Lord commands a blessing with his harmony, his fellowship with him, fellowship with the Father, fellowship one another, identifying all members of the body, being in one, in harmony and in unity, as fellowship. And all very important that is as well. So as I said from the Amplified, the fellowship is a distinguishing mark of all believers together. That's so very important. In Ephesians 2, we're called the household of God. We're all part of his household. People have different functions in the home and in the house, but contributing to the whole welfare of the home and the house. So it is in the household of God, household of faith, exactly the same thing. And we are the habitation of God by the Spirit. So having the opportunity, says Paul in Galatians, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith, Galatians 6. So all that's very important. Just to come towards an end, as we're encouraged to walk in the light, to walk in love, walk in truth, be part of an identification and of a body as well. all very important. We're all members in the one body, body of Christ. And we all need each other. We all possess a gift from the Lord in serving Him, which serves the whole church as well. And it will be for the benefit of every member of the body, body as a whole. The fellowship of believers to love one another and serve. That's true harmony. That's true fellowship. Called to love and serve one another. We all have different gifts of responsibility, and the Lord expects those gifts to function within the body. We all have at least one gift, whatever that may be. So we all need each other. If any functioning part of the body isn't functioning, or if a, like any human body, if you didn't have a big toe or a thumb, you'd have great difficulty in doing the work of walking and handling things. Or if you break your ankle or something, the whole body has to carry the weight of that painful break. We then limp along. If one member of the body is not functioning, the church limps along. So that's so important. And in John's third letter in verse 8, just to come to an end, we ought to receive brethren that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. Fellow helpers in the truth. 3 John 8 at the end. Fellow helpers in the truth, in the body. So the question is, are you serving in the fellowship for the welfare of the whole body? Let each one examine himself to see if we're hindering any blessing or whether we're promoting the blessing. That, as in Psalm 130, that the blessing of the Holy Spirit may flow into the body, through the body, like a fountain, to those outside. Definition of fellowship, just to finish. I put it this way. Definition of fellowship. Fellowship is a settled harmony of relationship. A settled harmony of relationships between at least 2 individuals, whether they're equal or unequal in society, it makes no difference. It's a covenant relationship which is binding between us and the Lord and each other in the body of Christ, in the fellowship, in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. Amos put it this way as I close. Can 2 walk together except they be agreed? No, you can't walk together in harmony if you're not in agreement. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship of the Holy Spirit is reproduced in the nature of Christ in each one of us, and fellowship with each other in the body of Christ, functioning as each one has a function and a gift from the Lord so to do. That's true fellowship. That's so very important. Thank you, Richard.